Before I ask my question this morning, I want you to take your bulletin and a pencil from in front and write three words with a little box. So make a little box and write won't. Won't. You know that word? Will not, right? Won't. Then make a little box and write shouldn't. So you know the difference between won't and shouldn't, right? And then the third one is a box and can't. Won't, shouldn't, can't. Those are the three words that I want on your piece of paper this morning. Are you movable for the Lord? Are you movable? And by that I mean, if he asks you to do something, do you get up and do it? No. I heard a no. Sometimes. How do you get to... So today we're going to talk a little bit about this, but first, sometimes we're not movable because we feel stuck. So if you feel stuck, whether it's your whole life or one aspect of your life or somewhere like that, today we're going to talk about that. By the way, I have special decorations on the podium this morning because it's Pentecost. Yeah. And Pentecost is one of the three big days of the Christian year. Christmas, Easter, and the one they forget about, Pentecost. The day when God poured his Spirit out on all of them. And actually, Linda was reading from Numbers, and the verse that we started with was verse 24, but verse 23 was the Lord saying, do you think my arm's too weak to save? Has my arm become too weak to do this? No. And then he goes on and works out that thing. So let's do this thing. First, the difference between can't do something, which is you don't have the ability or you're not available to it, right? You can't do something. This is something that I learned when I ran a business of my own. You shouldn't say yes to something you can't do because you can't do it. And it's going to mess everybody up. It's going to mess you up and your client if you say yes to something you can't do. What happens if you say yes to something you shouldn't do? Whoops. Yeah, there's the whoops. So there's, by the way, both of these, there are things you can't do that you shouldn't do, right? When they overlap, that you can't do them and you shouldn't do them. And then there's things that you should do, but you can't do, so they don't overlap. And what about this? I will not. I won't. Have any of you ever run into that attitude in your life? I can do it, but I ain't gonna. None of you have ever run into that, I can tell. I'm not asking you to do this. Let's read from Acts 2, and then we're going to start talking about the attitudes here about what's going on. So Acts 2, and I'm going to read the first 13 verses. And if you want to follow along, this is page 1677 in your Bible, in your pew. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At the time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by believers. I'm going to stop right there for a second and just recognize that there's this spot where everybody's together and a bunch of languages are being spoke. And I have this sort of feeling that whenever we do this, we should remember that the Bible in the New Testament is telling us things that have or completing stories from the Old Testament. I want to go back to Genesis 11 for a moment, right at this moment. Some of you might understand that Genesis, oh, by the way, we're not usually at this point in our Bible. This is page 16. It's very early in your Bible. It's page 16, the Tower of Babel. Now, I used to be a graphic designer, and I used to have this program called Debabelizer. And what it would do is it would take almost any computer file from one language and translate it to almost any other language. Only it wasn't a perfect program because it was really for graphics files, and it would make these things. And then there would always be problems, and you'd always have to fix it. So it wasn't a work of the Holy Spirit. It was just the thing of men. But it was called Debabelizer. This is the story. At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. And as the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. Now, it says Babylonia, but that's later. This is where Babylonia gets its name. They began saying to each other, "Let's make bricks and harden them with fire." In this region, bricks were used instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches to the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world." Now, if I'm to say this and you hear this thing, I want to be famous. Let's get famous. That's kind of the way the world talks about. But let's stay right here. We don't want to be scattered all over the world. Why would they say such a thing? Well, just two chapters earlier, after the flood, God says, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And upon that time, Noah, at that very moment, settles down and plants a vineyard and gets drunk. Is that fruitful and multiply and fill the earth? What I want to say is that after Noah and spread out and fill out, this thing happens. Is they start having an attitude. They say, "Wait, wait, wait, we don't want to be moved. We don't want to be moved. Let's do this thing and let's make ourselves famous. Make ourselves famous and do whatever it takes to not get scattered." I'm thinking of kids throwing fits, little ones. I'm thinking of kids saying, "You can't make me, I won't." I'm thinking of adults doing the same behaviors. "I won't, you can't make me, I'm not gonna." It's not the same as "I can't." It's not the same as "I shouldn't." This is "I won't." And I need to tell you something right here and now, that if God is speaking to you and has given you some commands, and he's given us some commands, now we're pretty spread out over the earth at this moment, but he might be talking to you in some area of your life. And if you're saying "I won't," I want you to know one thing: the Lord will resist you. I don't know any other way to say that. If you're being asked to do something, if you're being asked to live in a certain way, and the attitude of your heart is, "I will not, you can't make me," the Lord of heaven and earth has no choice but resist you. Now let me just let the ripples from that in the pond just spread out a little bit. Is there some area in your life where you're feeling like God is resisting you? Like the road is long and hard and you keep going nowhere. It's like you're on a treadmill and you're stuck. Do you remember this question earlier? Are you movable? Are you movable? But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower and the people were building. He said, "Look, they're united. They all speak the same language. This is sort of missing. And nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's confuse the languages. And then they won't be able to understand each other." What it doesn't say is they're united in the wrong direction and they're unmovable. And they won't be moved. And we have to resist that. You're supposed to read that in. It's not in the stuff there, but it is. And so in that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world. By the way, at that moment, they were obedient. Fill the earth. Now I want you to understand that I've made a long point of this over the time, that street signs and road signs and mileage markers and signs that say Spokane 50 miles away is you don't park under those signs and say, oh, I made it to Spokane, right? You the road says what to do. So when God does something, it's usually there for a reason. I want to say this very specifically. If you just turn the page, the very next thing in the Bible is Abram being called to leave his land. Do you see there's a difference between let's find a way to not be moved, and then God speaks to Abraham and says, go to a land I will show you. I won't be moved is not the same as I don't know where to go. Our hearts are this way. Back to Pentecost. Back to page 1677. They were completely amazed. How can this be? Everybody was listening in their own languages. Just a little aside here, I want to tell you the story that there's two things going on in languages in Acts 2. The first one is sort of everybody speaking in multiple languages. And then there's the translation exercise that's going on. As we heard, people are hearing in their own languages. Let me read this, just a small list. By the way, as you pronounce biblical names, I want to give you my rule of guidance for how to pronounce biblical names. Pretend you know what you're doing and go. They aren't necessarily from our thing, and the emphasis is often on the wrong syllable. So we'll be in this spot. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking our own native languages. We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and other areas of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs. My little aside here is that I've experienced this translation in my own life. I'd been praying for a way to speak into a situation in the Korean community in my seminary, and some of you have heard me tell this story, but I had no entry into the community, and so my best friend was the second oldest Korean male of the group, and he had some access, but I was trying to figure out how to talk to him about it, and I couldn't figure out a way to do it, and so I'm praying, and I'm, Lord, give me an opening. I just don't know how to do this. And so he, Inyoung, and I are sitting there studying for a test during finals week, and another Korean gentleman comes out and says, my pen just died in the test. Does anybody have one I can borrow? And I reached straight into my briefcase and handed him a pen. And Inyoung is looking at me, mouth agape. I like that word, agape. He's going, how did you know what he was asking for? And I said, well, he asked for a pen. He said his pen died. And Inyoung says, in Korean. In Korean. I said, no, English. Korean, says Inyoung. And the door is open to speak about a problem, right, between the two cultures. And I said, by the way, I've got this thing. And so we started talking. But this is what's going on, right? I want you to know that I didn't know the translation was going on. It was seamless to me. Inyoung didn't know it was going on. This is when I read this. Yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are. And then they give this list. This is kind of what's going on here. This isn't necessarily what's going on when people are speaking languages from other places. This is God building a bridge to speak into cultures that are nearby. He's de-Babylizing the world for a moment. He's undoing the separation. And we hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done, not about the fame of the people speaking, but about the fame of the Lord God Almighty. Do you see there's a complete difference there between this? Now, do I have the ability? I want to get back to can't, shouldn't, won't. I want to get back to this. Do you see the difference there between I can't speak Korean? It's not I won't speak Korean. I just haven't also had the opportunity to learn it or taken the opportunity. It's probably not even true that I haven't had the opportunity. I've been alive for 59 years. I probably have had the opportunity to learn Korean somewhere in there. And now there's all these programs and all these things that you can do. Matter of fact, I'm just taking the time to begin on Portuguese right now. But I could have done that with Korean, but I haven't. I still can't speak Korean. It's not the same thing as I won't speak Korean or I shouldn't speak it. I can't. I don't have the ability at the moment. God, however, has the ability to fix me so I can hear whatever he needs to say. He could also actually fix this sermon that if I am being confusing or nonlinear, which is I am wont to do, he can fix that in you, and he can de-Babylize whatever I've said. He can do that. Now, I don't often think that he does very much of it. What he does is he hones in on what you need to hear from what I've said and fixes that in your brain in a way that your focus has. Now, that's a way of de-Babylizing that just helps out the pastor. It also means that he's having a conversation, the Lord is having a conversation with you at all times, and I have been asked to enter for a moment not knowing where I am in the conversation, and then I get asked to leave the conversation still not knowing where I was in the conversation. But he does, because he's the Lord of all the earth. But can't, won't, and all this stuff. Remember, there's a difference between, I want to make sure that we are very careful here, the difference between can't, won't, and shouldn't both have positive and negative connotations, right? I'm not speaking against, I won't do that because the Lord has asked me not to. That's a place you shouldn't do it. But you can, but you shouldn't. But there's also places where you can't, but you should. And this is the spot where the work of the Spirit comes in, where Moses says, I wish everybody had that ability. And when we come to faith, I want to very specifically say this to you, the Holy Spirit resides in you. And the Holy Spirit doesn't lose any of the Holy Spirit's abilities because the Holy Spirit's in you. The Holy Spirit will hold back because you're not willing. But you have the Lord of hosts' Spirit living in you with all the abilities of the Lord in you. So when God asks you to do something and you say, nope, not gonna. I won't. Or you know, I shouldn't. There's no propriety in that. I might get embarrassed. I shouldn't do that. But the Lord is asking you to do it. What he's asking you to do is follow and let him be Lord. Now, when the disciples were in the upper room waiting for the Spirit to come, they were in a spot where they couldn't speak all these languages because they had been asked to wait, so they shouldn't go out until that moment. They were also very afraid, so they were kind of saying, I won't. But they were waiting. They were in a waiting place. Do you see how couldn't, shouldn't, can't, shan't, wouldn't, won't, all those things kind of coincide in place? And then the Lord moves, not in resistance to them, but to make himself famous, to bring the glory of the Lord in front of people. He makes a noise in the house like a rushing wind, and all the people around come. Now, Peter begins to preach, and it says actually that he went at great length to preach, but that day, let me just flip down here, and in that day, 3,000 people came to faith. Now that, I want to say that if you're 30 or 40 or 12 believers in a room and there's a big noise, 3,000 people have to walk up more than a block to come hear you, right? Because 3,000 people don't usually live in one block. We just understand that that's some noise, isn't it? When was the last time you heard something four blocks away and thought, oh, I have to go over there and see what that's about? Do you understand what I'm saying? We were up at a barbecue up at the Strites one, up on the, and there was a fire down in town and you could see it, and we were all going, ooh, I wonder what that's about. And we were all looking, but you could see it. But you could see the crowd gather. Now imagine it's a big enough deal that 3,000 people gather around. And then all the little things that go on to allow them to hear what the Lord is doing. Do the disciples have the ability to attract 3,000 people? No. Were they attracted? Yes, that's the Lord. They can't do that on their own, but not having the ability didn't stop it from happening. The Lord was present. Now, not having the ability and not having an attitude of helpfulness to the Lord will stop and sort of sequester the work of the Spirit in your life to the spot where you go, I can't do that. I won't do it. See, there's this difference here in the work of the Lord. But the Spirit inside us takes care of the ability problem. Now, what about shouldn't? What about shouldn't do this? Have you ever been asked to pray for somebody and you think, I can't do that. I'm going to be a disappointment. I shouldn't do it. I'm supposed to go pray for somebody's healing, and what if it doesn't happen? I shouldn't do that. See, the problem with the thought process is that you think God's going to say, I'm going to heal them and you're going to get the credit. And because you're going to get the credit, you might get the blame if it doesn't happen. Oh, I understand. But when God asks you to go pray for somebody, even if he doesn't heal, I'm going to say this very specifically, even if he doesn't heal, you've still prayed for them and cared for them. If he heals in that moment, you don't get the credit. You didn't do it. Which means you don't deserve the blame when it doesn't happen because you didn't do it. You didn't have the ability. This is the difference between I won't do that. I shouldn't do it. I'm not gonna. And I will do that. Even if I look like an idiot, or I might be to blame. Because what's going on is you're starting to think about whether or not you're going to be famous or whether the Lord's going to be famous. One last story really quickly about learning how to witness and talk about Jesus. Most people think, I'm going to mess up. I shouldn't do that then. I'm not going to. That's exactly how the process kind of goes. I'm going to do it wrong. I'm going to fail. I don't have the ability. But God's got the ability, and he's in charge of the conversation. So if God's got the ability, and he's in charge of the conversation, then you can't really mess up because you don't know what's expected. And you don't know what's not expected. But then he can speak and do. But if you think that you're in charge of the salvation of others, then you've got the wrong person on the throne. Because God's in charge of who comes to him. And he's in charge of his messengers. And he's in charge of the ability of his messengers. And he's in charge of the effectiveness of his messengers. And he's completely willing to work with, I don't know how. But if you say I won't, he's got to resist you. I just want to make sure that you understand that there's a difference here in our hearts. So I had you mark down won't, shouldn't, can't on your bulletin. Is there some place in your life that you're stuck where what you've actually said is, I won't? I'm going to give you the opportunity right now as I pray to sort of talk with God, just a short conversation right now with God about your won't spot, or I shouldn't spot, or I can't spot. As my dad used to say, can't never did nothing. Lord Jesus, as we submit our hearts to you, help us test. Help us test to find out whether it's us that are saying no because we don't want to be famous, or we want to be famous, or we want to be not famous for making mistakes. But help us lift you up as the Lord of the universe. On this Pentecost day, when your Spirit fills us and takes care of the ability problem. Lord Jesus, be with us and strengthen us that we might be your people. Amen.